Okay, so this is Cindy Grace McCaskey, and I'm interviewing Margie Cofield. Today's date is October 18th, 2019, and we are at the Town of Princeville Temporary Town Offices. So first, thank you very much for talking with us. So what is your full name?
Margie Lee Battle Cofield.
Okay. And where and when were you born?
I was born in Bethel, December 29th, 1926. I'm 92 years old.
Wow, you look fantastic. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Edgecombe County. I've been in Edgecombe County all my life.
Okay.
In and around the Tarboro area. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have other family members in this area?
Yes. My parents, and I don't have any sisters or brothers, you know.
Okay.
I was raised with a girl that we were like sisters, you know, we were raised together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was it like growing up? What was the house like that you grew up in?
Oh, well, we moved several places, you know, different houses because we owned a farm. Always lived in a pretty good house. Pretty good house. I was never in one of those that you really could, you know, count the chickens under the house or anything like that. Always in a pretty good house.
Mm-hmm. What kind of farm was it?
Well, we were like sharecroppers, you know, and we had raised cotton, peanuts, tobacco, corn.
And did you help with any of the...
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that. What was that like?
Oh, picking cotton. You get up in the morning early and you get in the field sometime to do the cotton. It must be wet, you know, but you try to get out there early. And, you know, sometimes my husband and I would race to see how much we could pick, if I could beat him, if he beat me. And I think the highest I ever picked was 300 pounds, and I beat him about 2 or 3 pounds, you know. So, you know, that was fun. It was a lot of hard work, but it was fun.
And what was school like? Did you go to school?
Yes, I did. I attended Lawsboro School, which was out on the Leggett Highway, which is now 33 Highway, in elementary school, and also Wimberley, which is between Rockamount and Topper, the elementary schools. And then when I graduated, 8th grade at that time, 1 year at...
I'm sorry.
1 year at Britt Tri-County School, and then I transferred to Petillo, which at that time was a high school, but now it's middle school, elementary school. At that time it was a high school, and I graduated from there in 1944.
And did you come to Princeville or as a child or
growing up? No. We had a home built there in 1970. And we moved there from Tarboro city limits.
And that was you and your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my children, we had 3 sons.
And what was Princeville like then when you first moved?
Well, like I said, when we first moved, it wasn't actually Princeville. We were in the area called Southern Terrace. And then they annexed us into Princeville. And it was okay. The Southern Terrace resident didn't really want to be annexed into Princeville, but, you know, they did it anyway. So. And they offered us trash pickup, you know, and stuff like that.
Why didn't they want to be annexed in?
Because we knew it was going to be another taxation, you know, because then we'd be taxed for Princeville as well as the county. We would have two different taxes, you know.
And did you work?
Yes, I did. I worked right out here at the Edgecombe County Health Department for 22 years.
What did you do?
I was a secretary.
And your husband?
Clerk, they really called it, clerk.
Mm-hmm. And did your husband work?
Yes, he did. Until he got disabled. He had a real extreme high blood pressure, and he got disabled. But he worked at Glenart Mills, which is right down there, and also Carolina Enterprise. Mm-hmm.
And so you were in, then Southern Terrace was annexed into Princeville. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what was it like in maybe the time, you know, right before Floyd? Because you said that you were impacted by Hurricane Floyd.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Well, it rained. That was another hurricane. What was the hurricane before Floyd? It was another one.
Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis? They came. Was it Dennis? Anyway, sort of came back to back. Tremendous amount of rain, you know. And this particular day, I mean, the water was just, the little store there, the water was sort of in the road. So my sons didn't go to work that day because, you know, they just sort of stayed home. And we just sort of watched it all day, you know. There was water between, I was the next house to the little store, which was called Coakley Store. Not Coakley Store, because that's not Coakley. Rogers Store, Rogers Grocery. And so we just sort of watched, you know, during the day. And then by the late evening, you could see, you know, grass sticking up, you know. So I thought maybe the water's just hadn't had time to soak in, really, you know. So we didn't do anything about moving anything or anything. About 4:30 in the morning, well, my oldest son and his wife had separated at the time, and he had moved back home. About 4 o'clock in the morning, heard somebody say, "Principal residents, get out." And I jumped up, and I said to my son, did you hear what he said? So my oldest son said, "I didn't hear it." Now my younger son said, "They said, Princeton residents, get out and get to the mall." So we jumped up. I had a car. My youngest son had a car and a truck. So I had a cat, Cece. So I grabbed a can of food, you know, and I put it down for Cece and some water. And I had put a few things in a bag, like an outfit. Changing outfit in a little bag, and I grabbed it, ran outside. When I got outside, the boys were in my car. So my son left his car and his truck because they didn't want me to drive, because by then the water was sort of, you know, right by my house, by the house. So anyway, we went over to the mall. And when we got there, we said, you know, we didn't even bring a blanket or a pillow. So we went back to my house. By that time, the water was in my driveway. And we ran in, grabbed a pillow and a blanket, and we went back out. By that time, the water was coming across the bypass. We went the bypass over to the mall. The water was coming across the bypass. So we went back to the school. We sit to the park, to the mall. We sat there in the car today. So I had a friend that lived on St. James Street. So we said, let's go up to her house, because we didn't think that they were in the water yet. But they had been told to evacuate too in East Harbor, because it was sort of in a low area. So we went up to her house. So we had a little breakfast and everything. And so she said, well, we better get out of here too. So by that time, my boys came back and said, the water's coming across the street, which was St. James Street. So the water's coming across the street now. So we came back to the school, and I said, you know, I'm not going to be able to get on a blanket and lay on this floor. So I had a friend on Center Street, and she had said we could come to her house. So the boy said, well, we are not going. I said, okay, well, take me. I'm going up to her house. So when I got there, they decided they wanted to stay too. And she had had open heart surgery. So her son in Chesapeake came and picked her up because they didn't want her to get in, but she couldn't get out to a doctor if she needed to, you know. So she said, make yourself at home. So we just stayed in her house. I didn't have any furniture or anything anyway, but just one change of clothes. So we stayed at her house, I know, a week. And then one of my boys went to stay with someone else, and two of us, me and one son, stayed there at her house. But my back went out. I had been having some trouble with my back, and my back went out. And so with all of us being there, I was sleeping with her. Her husband gave up his bed, you know. So anyway, so she was having to help me up, you know. So I said, well, this is not good, you know, because she's had heart surgery. I said, this is not good. So the friend on St. James Street, I said, I'm going to her house. She lived alone. And I had a room and a bed and everything to myself, you know, so I went to her house. And stayed there until November. The flood was in September. So November, my son said, Mom, we got to have somewhere to stay. So he was working with this young fellow. And he said, you know, he had separated from his wife. So he said his house was available. So he said, Mom, you want to go out and look at that house? And I said, okay. So I went out and looked at it. I wasn't really interested, you know. So finally another day he said, Mom, we got to have somewhere to stay. I said, well, tell that young man to come back to the house and open it up so I can go inside, because the first time I just looked at it outside. So he came back at lunch hour and opened the house up. And they had just had it painted. It was so pretty. All the rooms were white, you know, so pretty and so clean, you know, and everything. I said, okay. I like it. So I said, can we move in? He said, no, my mama wouldn't like it if I let you all move in. And, you know, you haven't bought the house or anything like that. I guess I was looking so sad. He said, okay, I'll let you all rent it the first month. Said, then, you know, we'll see. I said, okay. Well, didn't have anything to move anyway. Easiest move I had ever had, because I didn't have anything to move. I did have one sofa that State Farm Insurance had at the Carolina Enterprise, they had a area set up, and their customers could come in and get some piece of furniture. So my son and I were the first in line that day, so I got this sofa. And the lady behind me, she wanted it, but I got that first, so I had the first choice, so I got that sofa. So that's the only thing I had to move was that sofa. So we moved in, and at the end of that month, we had everything so that we could purchase the house, not buying the house, you know. So that's where we are. Been 20 years now. We've been there 20 years.
So did you, when did you go back to see your house after the flood? Or?
Oh, it was 2 weeks before I got to see the house. They invited me over in Princeville for 2 weeks. And I said, did it look like the water got high in my house? They said, no, but it was kind of a little low area. Like, so when I got there, my two sons and I said, well, we didn't know what we were going to see. We walked inside. We said, we're going to go in the door. You can just see three of us trying to get in the door same time, you know, my size. So we unlocked the door. We said, we all going to just go in together, you know. So we sort of pushed on in together. Everything was in disarray. The refrigerator was laying on the stove. I had a big queen sofa in the den, and it was out in the floor, and it was open. I had a big recliner, and it was turned up. And I got to my bedroom. The dresser was over here. It was just in turmoil. Everything, you know, it was just in. And the water was up just a foot and a half from the ceiling. It had covered everything in my house except a cabinet I had in the kitchen, china closet. I had my dishes in the kitchen. And my son's armoire, stereo, what had gone over everything except those two pieces. And everything, I mean, was just, you know, everywhere in the house. And I had my poor cat, Cece, wanted, said, we don't even want to look in there. We don't even want to look in there. Because I had put it in the bathroom. And so we wouldn't look in there right then. But I think we went back the next day. And one of the adjusters came. And he opened the door. He said, there's a cat in there. And I knew she was dead, you know. But she had put up a fight. She had pulled the curtains down, you know. But she was an old cat. I'd had about 12 years, so she couldn't hang on, you know. That, no, 2 weeks, she couldn't hang on. But she had put up a fight, you know. And so, well, there wasn't anything in there too savage, really. It's strange. My kitchen table was sitting just like I left it. And I always kept my table set with my dishes. I had glasses with the little stems on them, sitting right there just like I left it. And I had a big flower vase about like that that my ushers had given me at my church. The flowers, the same flowers and dirt in there right now. It wasn't even wet. I put my hand in there. It wasn't even wet. So this is like just a miracle, you know. So the same flowers, same dirt is in that vase right now. And it was just as dry. And my table was sitting just like I left it sitting. And the refrigerator was laying over on the stove. Yes, it was something like you'd never seen, you know. You just couldn't believe what you saw, you know, when you walked in your house. And you think, well, all my life's work is gone. And so when I was staying with Serena, she came back home after a week. She came back. And one morning I got up real early and I eased on down to the kitchen. And I was in tears, you know. And she came and she said, what's the matter? I said, you know, I'm homeless. I don't have anything. I am homeless and I don't have anything. So she said, everything's going to be all right, you know. So it's going to be all right. But, you know, you realize then how quick you can be homeless, you know. You think, well, you got it made the rest of your life. All of a sudden, you're homeless. You know?
How did that make you feel? I mean, what was that like?
It was sad, traumatic. But, you know, And when the adjusters all came in, I had a king bed. In my bedroom, I had a king bed. As they snatched one of the sheets off and all the little whatnots and things, you know, they were just throwing them in. They were just throwing them in that sheet, you know. And had a lot of little whatnot, different, people call them dust catchers. And I was standing there looking. I said, I'm never going to have all this stuff again. You should see my house now. I got more than I had then. Because, and she said, well, you got all this stuff in all this. I said, well, I didn't buy it. People gave, you know. I said, for birthdays and Christmas and things, they give me little those, you know, gifts. I said, and I cherish them. I don't throw them out. I cherish them. I put them up, set them out.
So did you have insurance on the house, or?
I had insurance on the house, but it was not flood insurance because I had my insurance with State Farm. They told me if I had asked them to sell me flood insurance, they would not have because I was not in a flood zone. Because Southern Terrace is, you know, way on down the road, but that water just went. Covered the whole area, you know.
So did anybody in Southern Terrace, for example, think that they could be flooded like that.
No. Pressville is a downtown Main Street. Has flooded for years and years, or way back years. But it was just in that area. It never went out, you know. It was just, say, Main Street in the little area, sort of in there, you know. Never had it been that far out. In fact, it was, I don't know how far that, several miles down the area, the whole area just water. And one lady was staying about, probably 2-3 miles from me. And she hadn't left her house, and she said the water was coming just like a horse galloping, just the water, to see the water just coming.
Mm-hmm. And so were you, you mentioned that after a few months you were able to rent that house, mm-hmm. The one you're still in now. Mm-hmm. So did you have savings that allowed you to do that? I mean, how?
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was the, you mentioned that you had friends who were offering their, places for you to stay and helping. Mm-hmm. What was the community like at that time, right after the flood where everybody had been impacted?
Well, actually, it looked like a ghost town, just a ghost area. It looked like something you would see on TV. It just looked like a ghost area, just a ghost town.
Mm-hmm. excuse me. Was there a lot of, did you feel supported?
Yes, I did.
You mentioned your boys and your husband. Where was he at the time?
They passed at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what ultimately happened with the house that you did live in? Has that been...
Habitat for Humanity finally came in and repaired it. But I just sold it for what they gave, mm-hmm. Because we decided not to go back.
And why was that? Why didn't you want to go back?
I don't want to answer that.
Okay. That's fine.
One thing, there was a lot of memories there. A lot of memories. And...
So, at least in the last, say, 3 to 4 years, with after Hurricane Matthew and the flooding, there's been a lot of talk about resilience and how to make communities more resilient, homes more resilient. What does that mean to you? What would it mean for this area to be more resilient? Do you think it's resilient?
Explain resilient.
So it could be resilient in terms of the ability to, for homes, homes to withstand flooding. So it could be sort of like the structural, or it could be, the community able to change and adapt with some of these big flooding events or changes that we're seeing.
That's hard to say.
Have you, so you haven't heard much about what, you know, people talking about Princeville as resilient or not?
Oh, they said they wanted to put the houses up. Oh. Elevate the houses. And I don't know.
Do you think, so like yourself, when, you know, you technically left Princeville, but you're not too far, right?
Right.
Is for many of the people who lost their homes in Floyd, you know, was that the case? Do you feel like most people may have left the, you know, Princeville, but they're still in the area? Or do you feel that many people...
Some left. I don't think too many left at that time. I think most of them came back. I would think most of them came back. I know some left, yeah.
And did you know much about the history of Princeville and the, you know, the significance of the town of Princeville when you lived here?
Oh, I know that the oldest town chartered by blacks in America.
Was that talked about much whenever you lived here?
Oh, yes. It was talked about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It seems that not a lot of people knew about Princeville until Floyd, mm-hmm. or about the significance until Floyd. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Sometimes things just not... History's not, just not put out, you know, where people can really hear it.
Do you think it's good for the future of Princeville in this area to try to get that message out more?
Yes, I think so.
So one other thing I wanted to ask about was Shiloh Landing. Have you been to Shiloh Landing?
Not really been there. I go by it all the time because it's where I go to my church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you've never really spent time there?
No.
Okay. One of the other professors or faculty members at ECU is a maritime archaeologist. Mm-hmm. And so she has done some... archaeology in that area.
Okay.
And so she's interested in learning about the importance of Shiloh Landing. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think it's supposed to have been an area of some sort of recreation and whatever. I don't know if they completely developed what they plan to do. I don't know about that.
Okay. Are your sons still in the area?
Hmm?
Your sons, do they still live nearby?
One in Tarboro. One, he and I live together, the younger one. He's the one that brings me out here, the one that brought me out here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son passed away in 2008.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And do you plan to stay here?
In Tarboro?
Mm-hmm.
I've been here this long, I don't know where else to go now. Yes. I've been in the area all my life. I'm sure I'll be here now the rest of my life.
So any other thing that you would want to share about Princeville or about Floyd or?
No, I don't think so. It was just... I think it caught everybody by surprise that they had another flood because they were saying, you know, like 100 years or, you know, whatever. And in, what was it? How many years has it been since Demon Matthew came out? About 17 years, and here was the accounts of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the things that were destroyed the first time were destroyed again, you know. Mm-hmm. The schools, churches. And I think that sort of was a surprise, you know.
So your home now was okay with Matthew?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
I'm in an area that don't think would flood because, of course, they didn't think that area would flood either. So... you don't ever know what disaster's coming along.
With some of these, you know, areas that, excuse me, with some of these areas that, you know, flooded with Floyd and then flooded again with Matthew, yet, you know, they have historical significance. Mm-hmm. Do you think that important structures should be rebuilt on those sites, or should they be moved out of, you know, the flood area?
Mm-hmm. That's hard to say because if you move, it don't seem like they have the same. Same meaning, but then they stay there and they continue to flood. You're just, you know, having to rebuild the same thing over and over and over. Just like the schools, for instance, you know, and the churches. And even Patola School in East Tarboro was flooded and they rebuilt it again. And, you know, then the flood come along again. And Principal School also, you know.
Are they rebuilding the one in Tarbor on the same site as well?
Mm-hmm. In Princeville, too. Mm-hmm.
So I've seen some older photos of Princeville, maybe from the first part of the 1900s, but where the houses even then were built on stilts, mm-hmm. and things like that, because the area flooded. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything like that, or did you hear stories, you know, about years ago, the homes being built high up or things like that?
Not too much.
No.
I don't know too much about that.
So, do you have any, are there other people that you think would be good for us to talk to about these kinds of things?
No, there's some other ladies that come out here, but they're not here today, that's been in Princeville all their lives, you know, and really know, you know, more about the history of Princeville than I do. Mm-hmm. Although I was in the Tarboro area, you know, back in the day, you know, sometimes you didn't have a car, you didn't get, you know, didn't get too far.
What are their names? Hmm. The names of the women who have been here for...
Oh, Ms. Anna Brown. And Viola Barlow.
So they come to the senior center, mm-hmm. usually?
Uh-huh. I think Ms. Barlow is having some little health issue right now. So she hasn't been this week. I don't think she's been this week.
Okay. And did you know them prior to coming to the senior center?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do them.
Okay. And then the other thing is, There's a few different people who are working with the Mobile Museum who are looking to collect artifacts from the area or photos, you know, related to Princeville or the surrounding area, related to the flooding. Do you have anything or documents or anything that you'd be willing to share with us?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
All my pictures were lost in the flood, you know. My kids, when they was little, diplomas, everything, lost in the flood.
Devastating.
Mm-hmm. My diploma, which I'd had since 1944. Things like that you can't replace. Pictures, their graduation pictures, class pictures. Can't replace any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate it.